Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Lord, teach us to pray. The apostles and disciples came to Jesus and asked him to teach them to pray. And I have to tell you, my 30 years of doing church ministry work, it's probably the number one question, alongside one other one, which is actually rooted in prayer, which is, how do I know God's will? It's a question of discernment, which ultimately is rooted in prayer. Well, today on Sound Insight, I'm going to cover a variety of themes connected to developing and your prayer life and overcoming challenges to praying well. Be back in a minute. Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the program. On this program, where our theme is prayer, let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, we approach you with confidence. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would stir in our hearts every good gift we need to be able to recognize your presence, honor your will, and serve you well today. Lord, we've really yet begun to glorify you in the way that we desire. So help us, Lord. Help us to have a good beginning. Help us to have a good day. Lord, we repent of our shortcomings. We repent of all the ways that we settle for less or fall short. Lord, give us the grace today to receive your tender mercies, your generosity and kindness towards us in every circumstance and detail of our lives. Lord, raise us up to heights of holiness that we could not have imagined for ourselves. And call us forth, Lord, to a closer walk with your Son, Jesus, even when it means the cross. Lord, give us eyes that are fixed on heaven as our true home. Give us the capacity to evaluate the different things that are happening in our lives today from a heavenly perspective, from your mind, O Lord. And Lord, we ask that you would cleanse us of fear, meet our every need, especially those needs that are most pressing on our hearts and minds right now. Dear Jesus, be for us today a good shepherd, protecting us from the wolves, protecting us from ourselves and our own fleshly desires to flee from you or to avoid you or to ignore you. Holy Spirit, prompt us in ways that we can discern. Help us to sense when it is and what it is you are asking from us. And Lord, give us the grace to respond, to follow, even when it is awkward, even when it's foreign, even when it might leave us in a uncomfortable place, Lord. Give us the grace to obey. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So there you go. I just prayed. And that you could call that a spontaneous prayer. And when I prayed like that, it's something that I have done. In some ways, I've been formed to do. It's something that I have experienced now for, I don't know, literally, well, more than three decades. About 35 years ago or longer was when I first experienced or saw people pray spontaneously. When they were asked to pray or when there was a time of prayer. And I can remember when I first heard it. I actually still remember the time when I was first part of a situation where It was involving spontaneous prayer, and it left me uncomfortable because I was much more comfortable with formal prayers. And it's not that formal prayers are bad at all. In fact, they're very formative. They help us to think clearly and oftentimes state things that are very profound about our life of faith. You know, if you take a typical act of faith or act of hope or act of love or an act of contrition or a prayer of repentance, right? There are so many, let's call them fundamental, a morning offering, right? There's so many beautiful prayers in our tradition that if we really paid attention to what we were saying, it would really shock us to say, wow, do I mean that? Do I mean what I'm saying? Or I hope these words are like seeds that it gets sown into my heart so that I actually will mean what they say. So that kind of accessing prayer books that have formal prayers is very powerful. There's something, though, that I find very powerful about being able to pray spontaneously. And when I say spontaneously, what I mean is not, oh, I have the ability to come up with things that sound good when they're said out loud. But what I mean instead is spontaneous prayer as in listening deeply to what's going on in my heart and sensing that there's something stirring in my heart where the Holy Spirit is, where God himself dwells, the Blessed Trinity dwelling in my heart, in the core of my being. And there, out of that sense of union with the Spirit of the Lord, who is the source of all prayer in my heart, stirs in me something, like a little prompting or a little nudge to pray in a specific way, to pray using certain words, right? In Romans chapter 9 or 8, it talks about the Holy Spirit, you know, gives speech to us when we don't know how to pray as we ought. The Holy Spirit in our hearts will stir within us. And so I know I'm just sort of launching into my sharing today and teaching today on prayer, but I thought, well, let me just flow from the prayer that I said at the beginning of the program. And you must know I didn't like have that prayer written down, or I didn't have certain themes in my mind as I launched into the prayer. I just started in. And in this spontaneous way, I tried to be docile or open to let the Spirit stir things to be brought up into my mind. And then I would just literally go with the flow. So I would go with the flow of what was emerging inside of me, what was sort of bubbling up in me as I was praying. And when that happens, in a graced way, right? When there's a sense of really going with the flow of the Spirit prompting, it has the capacity I've found to touch hearts. I know that because when I am in the presence of a group and there's someone who is leading the prayer that is a spontaneous prayer, and that person is going with the flow, right? That person is discerning and moving quite quickly in the moment with what it is they're sensing that the Lord is prompting them to pray. It has a power to touch hearts, to impress itself, and to stir prayer in others. So I say to, especially to all of you who are in roles of leadership and roles of guidance and formation for others. So, okay, moms and dads, that's you, to pray for the gift of spontaneous prayer. Pray for that gift of being able to do what's called discursive prayer. You discourse, you speak out loud. It is a fundamental way that we pray in accord with our tradition. And that definitely takes the form of praying formal prayers. You can just read one of the Psalms, right? The prayer book of God's people. You can read prayers from traditional prayer books. Very, very valuable, very powerful. But if you can complement that with your own, here's the language I want to use, and I mean it not sort of emotionally or psychologically, I mean it in accord with our own tradition. If you can pray from the heart, pray from the heart, I think that you'll discover that you can have quite a big impact on your own family's lives, on your own kids' lives. In fact, let me just say that, reference the catechism here, because I when I share with you some teaching today about prayer, I do it in a way that is hopefully you have confidence that I'm not just making stuff up. I'm drawing on the scriptures and our tradition with the great saints and our church's teaching. Well, for instance, in I mentioned the heart. Here we are, paragraph 2562 and 2563. It says this: where does prayer come from? Whether prayer is expressed in words or gestures, it is the whole man who prays. But in naming the source of prayer, Scripture sometimes speaks of the soul or the spirit, but most often of the heart, more than 1,000 times. According to Scripture, it is the heart that prays. If our heart is far from God, the words of prayer are in vain. It's so striking to me, because we can say words of prayer, but when they don't have this vibrant connection, this vital sense of coming from, having their source in the heart, then there's just something that's lacking. There's this lack of, I want to call it radiance, a lack of radiance that somehow this prayer has come from God, or it's come from the fruit of one's union with God. That's the way I want to say it. Well, let me expound upon that by reading paragraph 2563 in the Catechism, the next paragraph. The heart, what's the heart? The heart is the dwelling place where I am, where I live. Focus on the I, the person, the spirit. The sense of self, the person. The heart is the dwelling place where I am, where I live. According to the Semitic or biblical expression, the heart is the place, quote unquote, to which I withdraw. The heart is our hidden center, beyond the grasp of our reason and of others. Only the Spirit of God can fathom the human heart and know it fully. The heart is the place of decision, deeper than our psychic drives. It is the place of truth, where we choose life or death. It is the place of encounter, because as image of God, we live in relation. It is the place of covenant. So Christian prayer, paragraph 2564, is a covenant relationship between God and man in Christ. It is the action of God and of man springing forth from both the Holy Spirit and ourselves, holy as an entirely directed to the Father, in union with the human will of the Son of God made man. And so that's prayer, right? Prayer is about being able to go into the depths of who we are, into the depths of the hidden center of our lives, where the I dwells in our inmost being, in our heart. And there is where God is. There's where the Holy Spirit is. And in that union of our spirit with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit will prompt us, will move us, will lead us, if we're willing, if we're docile, if we're receptive, if we yield, He will prompt in us senses, words, a sense of direction for our prayer. And when prayer flows from that place, It has great power. It has the power to grab attention, to maintain attention, to have an impact. And so when we pray out loud, parents, I want you to hear this. When you pray out loud in front of your kids, when you pray out loud leading prayer for your families or for a child, you don't want to just say correct words. You don't want to just say correct words. You want whatever words you say to be able to be traced back to that source deep within you, that place where you dwell in union with the Spirit of the living God. And it's out of that sense of encounter and the union with the Lord that when the words bubble up from that source and are spoken forth from that source, that they will have impact. And you will literally be used by the Lord to stir into flame, to spark into flame, and to magnetically draw into prayer your own kids. It's heart speaks to heart, spirit to spirit. The Spirit of the living God in them will evoke in them a sense of, yes, I'm connecting in with the prayer of my dad, of my mom. How can we develop this some more? I'll tell you in a minute on Sound Insight. Please stay tuned. Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord, hear my voice. O Lord, be attentive to the voice of my pleading. Praying that beautiful Psalm 130, is that a word that comes from me or from God? As you know, the answer is yes. The Catechism talks about prayer as an authentic act of the human spirit. But if it's an authentic prayer, it's the human spirit being led, moved, shaped, molded, permeated by God's Holy Spirit. And so today on Sound Insight, I want to offer a variety of reflections on this diamond, this great rich gem, which is prayer. And I'm offering it because in this season, it is one of the main actions that we are to undertake is to develop our prayer lives. And we do so through undertaking certain acts of prayer. But to be honest, just praying more or just being willing to commit to certain acts of prayer, certain types of prayer, doesn't mean that there's automatic fruit. So for instance, Carrie and I were talking about praying the rosary. We've been praying the rosary daily now for the last month or two. And, you know, the kids have pretty much reduced to a minimum their grumbling or their attempts to dissuade us from, do we really have to pray the rosary tonight? They know that, no, this is just the track we're on and the commitment we're taking. And so they'll look for certain extraordinary circumstances like, oh, it's so late, I'm so tired, I've got, you know, homework, or dad's not home. So they'll try to wear down mom. But let's say that, when we are praying this rosary daily, just because we're praying it daily, does it mean that it's going to bear fruit in the hearts and minds of all who are praying it? And the answer is no, it's not magic. It's not a guarantee. However, when we can foster a prayerful spirit, we're more likely to help set our kids up for success. So for instance, let me give you a few things that will help the developing of your own prayer life. And I'm using the rosary as an example, but I want to give you a few key ideas, or let's call them strategies or tactics that have come to us, principles and practices that have come to us from our tradition about praying well and developing our prayer life. I know one of the things that can happen in our prayer lives is that we get discouraged. We get discouraged because we don't see a lot of fruit. We get discouraged because we come to our prayer time and we get distracted. We get tired and fall asleep, or we don't know what to do, or we do the things that we committed to do, but we don't see that they're really yielding a lot of fruit in our lives. These are just some of the things that get in the way of us feeling like, hey, this is such an incredible discipline to undertake and to help me grow in my own spiritual life. And I can see why everyone would be doing this every day. It just isn't happening. So some of the key principles that have been used in our tradition and taught by the doctors of the church in terms of really those who have taught quite a bit on prayer are the following. So first, if you want to pray well, one of the key things to do is when you've set aside a time to pray, let's say that you're going to choose to pray at 10 at night. Then if you're going to pray well at 10 at night, do not think that you can start your focused attention on praying at 9:59. What I mean is that if, for instance, I'm going to pray at 10 o'clock and all of a sudden I'm just going to watch a show that ends at 10, I'm going to watch some kind of event that ends at 10, and then immediately turn off the computer. That's probably happening as often as turning off the TV nowadays. Shut down the computer, turn off Netflix or Amazon or whatever, and all of a sudden I'm going to just start praying. You're probably not going to pray very well. It's probably not going to work out very well that they're all going to pray. And why is that? Well, the principle goes like this. If you want to dispose yourself to pray well during your time of prayer, use the time that leads up to your prayer time by putting yourself into the same disposition, into the same personal position as you want to be in prayer. In other words, if you want to be prayerful, and that means calm, and that means focused, and that means undistracted or less likely to be distracted during your prayer time, then set aside at least 15 minutes. Did you hear that? At least 15 minutes to before your prayer time. So at 9:45, shut everything down. Slow yourself down. Put yourself into a situation where it's not going to be as noisy. It's not going to be as distracted. You're not going to be diverted in terms of your attention. But you're going to begin to just calm yourself down, your emotions down, your passions and appetites down, calm down your thinking about things. So not looking at your smartphone, looking at emails and checking social media accounts and going online and all that sort of stuff. No, shut all that stuff down. 15 minutes. And if that's, and you're thinking, well, wait a minute, I'm only going to pray for 15 minutes. Okay, well, we'll talk about that a little bit later. If we really want to develop our prayer, we need to spend more than 15 minutes or even 20 minutes a day on our prayer time. But let's say that that's a starting point. But if you want to pray well, you got to have some time before prayer that's set apart for calming down and quieting down your humanity, your human being, so that you'll be more likely to pay attention during the time of prayer. Now, I just said 15 minutes. to be honest, when it comes to our family prayer time, it's hard for us to get 15 seconds. Though I'll often say, okay, let's take 30 seconds, or if we're really pressed for time, I'll say at least 10 seconds. Let's stop. Let's be quiet for 10 seconds. Let's just be silent. Let's quiet ourselves. Let's not say anything. Let's not move around. Let's not disturb our neighbor. And if the kids are giggling and laughing, I'll just say, let's start again. 10 seconds. Let's be quiet. And then let them be able to recollect themselves, to gather together their capacity to focus. And that all by itself will be very, very helpful. So for instance, you think about when you go to Mass, don't rush into the 10 o'clock Mass at 9:59. Get there early enough to be able to let your kids, well, first of all, get a drink, go to the bathroom, get settled, get to your space. And when they get into the pews, have them kneel down and ask the Lord for the grace to pray well at Mass, and ask them to ask the Lord to speak to them, to minister to them, and to give them the grace to enter into the Mass. It's something that kids need to be taught to do. They might see Carrie and me kneel down before Mass, but if they don't know what we're praying for, what we're doing, then for them, it's just a puzzle. So I'll lean to my kids and I'll say, kneel down and ask the Lord for the grace to be able to pray well at Mass, so you don't get distracted, you don't get diverted, but you can be focused on what it is the Lord is saying to you, what he wants to do in you, and what he's asking from you at Mass. Do that right now. And then they'll kneel down and they'll do it. But they need to be led. They need to be taught. So take some time to quiet yourself before your prayer time. It'll do wonders for you in terms of helping you be able to be more recollected. So think about this idea of the gathering together, to collect together the parts of yourself that are more focused outwards, and you have this sort of energy that's kind of going outwards, like my attention is going here, my focus is going there. I've got a fragmented sense of myself. No, I want to bring my whole self in my whole attention to prayer. So that means I need to calm myself down. Okay, at a physiological level, that means you shouldn't set your time of prayer to happen immediately after a big meal. You know what will happen. Despite all your best efforts to be attentive, to focus yourself on the Lord, your body is going to say, I'm going to use my energies to digest my food. And you're just not going to be able to fight against physiology there. You're not going to be able to fight against what it is internally your body is going to be doing. So that's not setting yourself up for success either. You can see now, hopefully, why praying first thing in the morning can be such a help in terms of setting yourself up for a good prayer time. Because at the beginning of your day, you're much more likely to have a recollected sense of self. You're not going to be as easily tempted by all the things that have happened to you during the course of the day. You'll just have come from a relaxed, well, hopefully, a posture of sleep. So waking up, you're not as busy about many things that have occurred during the day. So if you're going to pray first thing in the morning to help with that sense of focus, I would recommend that you, number one, get up earlier than you normally do, so you won't feel rushed. So give yourself, let's say, a half an hour. If you're going to get up a half an hour earlier than you normally do for your normal morning routine, and you're going to give a half an hour to prayer, don't get up at the same time. Get up a half an hour earlier. But if you're going to do that well, and you're not going to feel like, oh, I'm making a big sacrifice because I'm getting up a half an hour earlier, what do you need to do? Go to bed a half an hour earlier. Go to bed half an hour so you'll get the same amount of sleep, and then you can wake up, and then you'll have to decide how to best set yourself up for prayer. Whether you want to make a cup of coffee or tea and take a shower and then pray, or get up and be in a more quiet sort of mode of how you're going to enter into the day, and more quietly just move yourself to a place where you're going to enter into prayer. And then after that half an hour, enter into your standard morning routine. So that's something that you can play with. Now, if you're going to pray at some other point during the day as your personal prayer time, still hold to that principle of saying, I want to give myself some initial time before I enter into prayer to quiet myself, to recollect myself. So I would recommend that if you're out and about during the day and doing this, that you either go to a church, because a church, just literally going into the church, is going to likely put you into a quiet atmosphere, right? A reverent atmosphere. So whether it's an adoration chapel or a church that's open that has a tabernacle, so you can be in the presence of the Lord, and just go and sit. You'll be able to sit quietly, recollect yourself, and then you can enter into your time of prayer. So if you don't have access to a church, then I would recommend that you do something to help create a holy atmosphere in the environment that you are going to be in. So for instance, if you're at work, maybe you're going to go into your car, go out to the parking lot, sit in your car and have a Bible, and maybe use some holy music, sacred song, to be able to help create an atmosphere that will be more prayerful. So you're changing, you're shifting the environment you're in to be able to say, I'm in a place that is normal for me to be in, but I'm in that place differently. I'm doing something different in that space. And so I'm going to sit and I'm going to open up the scriptures. I'm going to maybe have a rosary in my hand, or I'm going to put on some music that is holy to kind of create that, again, that holy environment. Don't light a candle. Not in your car. Okay, so that's with regards to that. Now, if you're going to do this at night, I'm going to say to you, be realistic, right? Be realistic about time of day and how tired you are going to be, okay? Some people are night people. That's me. I'm a night person. So the idea of praying at night in a recollected way is something that attracts me tremendously, because it's like I can shed the concerns of the day and sit quietly and be with the Lord. Okay. So we are coming up against a break. When we come back, I want to talk more about the content of prayer and what we do when we bump up against some of the other sources of discouragement that we have in our prayer time, namely distractions or dryness or not knowing what to do. We'll tackle all those things today on Sound Insight. I'll be back in a minute. Please stay tuned. Hey, welcome back to Sound Insight. This is Tom Curran. Today I'm talking about one of the areas that it seems to me in my 30 years of doing church work is the one of the areas of greatest need, and that is to help ordinary Catholics and even very intentional Catholics to develop our prayer lives. How do we grow in our own spiritual lives? Specifically, how do we develop our prayer lives? In the first part of the program, I was mentioning this idea of praying spontaneously, and I used the theological principle that prayer comes from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts will stir in us a sensitivity to, if you will, allowing Him to lead our praying, and that as we nurture an intimate personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, will become more familiar with those promptings, with those movements of the Holy Spirit, and begin to be able to just speak words that flow from that union, that there's that union of wills, and that will begin to flow in a way that says, my prayer is an attempt to name what it is I'm feeling prompted to pray. Now, that's a very beautiful sentiment, right? Wouldn't it be great if all of our prayer was like that? And frankly, all of our lives were like that, right? That in fact, every thought, every word, every deed can be a life led by the Holy Spirit, a life where we're flowing from and moving forth from that union with the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of the Father and the Son who lives in our hearts. That's the life Jesus lived. Jesus lived a life fully led by the Spirit, lived a life where he only did what he saw the Father doing. Right? He always had, as he gazed upon the world around him, in the depths of his spirit, had a vision of the Blessed Trinity. Right? He had a vision of God. He had that vision of God in all that he said and thought and did. Now that Jesus lives in us. The living Lord lives in us. And he who is the head communicates to us through his Spirit in our lives. And so we can live a life that is marked by that intense, profound union with Jesus. So, okay, all that sounds good, but boy, we then bump up against the concrete experience of praying. And you know what? I don't really know what to say to the Lord. How do I spend my time in prayer? What do I speak? What do I actually say to God in my prayer time? And then what about discouragement in prayer that comes from either distractions or dryness? These are really critical things. So let me say this. This whole idea that you could pray in a spontaneous way, in a way that flows from that union with the Lord. Let me say this. That happens before you know it. That happens in ways and to a degree that you don't realize. It happens beyond what your reason can manage. So be encouraged. Be encouraged that the living God is at work in your life and through your life and in your praying more than you realize. So just know that. Believe that. But then also ask, seek, and knock for more of that. And the reason why this is important is that if we're going to grow in this sensitivity to the Holy Spirit prompting us, whether it's in our praying or in our living, is that we got to act. We've got to take action. So do you want to grow in your own capability or capacity or gifting to pray spontaneously? Right, to pray in situations where, you know, a family member just needs prayer, or when you open up your time of family prayer, you got to practice, you got to take action, you've got to do it. So it's not going to be you go to bed one night and you say a prayer and that grace drops on you, and then in the next time you pray, all of a sudden, boom, there's this flowing and this anointing that just happens in your prayer. No, the Lord, you know, the images that are used in our tradition and in the scriptures are what? They're sowing. You know, you've got to till the soil, and you got to pull up the rocks, and you got to prepare the soil, and you sow the seeds, and then they're going to grow gradually, and then eventually there's going to be a growth, and then it's going to yield fruit, right? That's the typical law of the spiritual life, is that growth and development takes time. And so you be patient with yourself regarding that. The idea that you're going to nurture and develop this sense of flowing with the Spirit. So in the meantime, well, how do we pray? What is the content of our prayer? Well, look at the Catechism. The Catechism, I summarize it. I call it PTPIA. PTPIA is what we teach our kids when they are praying spontaneously. We would use it on the way to school. We would use it to teach our kids, why don't you lead the prayer today? And so you'll do PTPIA, praise, thank, petition, intercession, and ask for intercession. And so when you take a look at the catechism, it'll talk about different forms of prayer. Praise is the first one. And praise is where you can talk about praising as blessing God or in terms of adoring the Lord. And so whether it is blessing God and saying, God, you are great, you are mighty, you are holy, adoring the Lord, Lord, I adore you, I love you, that kind of prayer is so important to begin with because it acknowledges God alone. There's nothing to do with me in that. God, you are glorious. God, you are magnificent. God, you are faithful. God, you are loving. God, you are perfect. Lord, we exalt you above all. You are our Father forever. You are mighty God. Beautiful to be able to praise God and to be able to have your kids learn that the first and fundamental mode of praying is to praise God. It's what the second highest saint, angels, choir of angels, the cherubim are doing. They praise God forever. That's all they do is praise God. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. That's praise. And so many people develop their own capacity to praise God by using song. So a very common form of that today is praise and worship music. A more traditional form are a typical Gregorian chants or Taizé hymns. These are ways of praying that point us to God as God. And how's that different than thanking? Well, thanking God brings us into the equation. Lord, I acknowledge that you're the source of a blessing for my life, for me, for us, for the world. So thanking God now involves us or involves something beyond God in terms of the actual form of prayer. So the first thing we do is P, praise. Second is we thank God. And so thanking God for very concrete blessings. So one of the things that often will happen when we thank God for blessings is that we become aware of so many areas in our lives where we've been blessed by God, where we take it for granted, where we take the Lord for granted. We take his blessings for granted. We take his protection for granted. We take his preserving us from certain evils or harms or difficulties for granted. And so thanking God all by itself has a very powerful impact. We recognize that it's all a gift, our life itself, and so many of the good things that we have in our lives. And so we thank him. But then that leads to petition, where we turn to God and we ask him. Now the catechism will say the first petition is going to flow from that thanksgiving. Well, we realize that we haven't thanked him sufficiently and we take him for granted. So what's the first petition? Asking for forgiveness. And so prayer will sometimes begin with a petition for forgiveness, asking the Lord, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for the ways in which I've fallen short. I've settled for less. I've betrayed you. I've dishonored you. I've broken your heart because I've broken your law. I have failed to honor you or obey you in my life. But then that also leads to other petitions. You're my good father. And so I petition you for good things, for myself, for my spouse, for my children, each and all, and for my family members. And so petition is another principal way that the Father wants us to approach him with confidence and yes, even with boldness. These are just some, again, I've only gotten into three, and so quickly, three of the content pieces with regards to prayer. What can we pray as we are praying? Well, PTP, praise, thank, and petition. When we come back, I'll break this open some more on Sound Insight. Please stay tuned. Jesus, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. I do not know how to pray as I ought, so the Holy Spirit will prompt us to pray. Today on Sound Insight, I'm digging into just one form of that prayer, which is called discursive prayer, where we speak to the Lord, we discourse to the Lord in our prayer time. Because so many of us Catholics, we've never really been formed in what do we say to God? How do we speak to God? When we talk about praying from the heart, what is that like? For many people, and let me say guys, this is maybe more prevalent for guys, is that we're out of touch. We don't really know. Like, pray from the heart. I have no idea what you're talking about. You know, what does that even mean? The Catechism even talks about it being beyond reason and beyond psychic drives. There's something that is in the depths of our hearts. Well, so many of us live lives on the surface of what we have going on in front of us that the idea of going within ourselves just seems so foreign and awkward. So praying discursive prayer, praying prayers where we speak things out loud, can be a means of getting in touch with, coming into contact with, the deeper things that are actually going on inside ourselves. So when we praise, if we lean on songs of praise, whether they are more traditional Gregorian chants or Taizé prayers, maybe a little more of a modern contemporary form of something that's akin to Gregorian chants, or praise and worship songs that can literally give words to our praise, that can help us come into contact. They can be a vehicle or a vessel for us coming into contact with what's going on in our hearts. Prayers of thanksgiving, where we thank the Lord. That is a very legitimate and beautiful and important way of praying during our prayer time. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for how good you are to me, for all these different things. Petition is the third one. And we can think, and sometimes that's where we start, right? I think sometimes when we're not in a habit of praying, that there's something that like compels us to pray. It's often an experienced situation of need, maybe for ourselves or maybe for someone else. And so sometimes if that's our situation, and what drives us to prayer is a reality that's going on in our lives, we can feel a little bit guilty. Like, Lord, I know I haven't really spent time with you. I haven't really developed my prayer life. But right now, I just am in need, myself, my family. So I'm praying for myself, petition, or I'm praying for someone else, someone that I care about deeply, or for a situation that's happening right now in my world or the world, and it's really concerning me. That's intercession. Intercession is when you pray for someone else, you intercede, you go between them or that situation and God. Petition is when you go to God for yourself. And does the Lord want one or the other? The answer is yes, the Lord wants them both. He wants you to petition him. Why? It's a beautiful way that he gets to show that he knows what's going on in your life. He's aware. He sees you. He hears your cry. And he wants to respond. He will respond. He is responding. But through your very petition or your very intercession, the Lord is breaking open your heart, or you are opening your heart to have him come and bless you or bless a situation through your prayer. Did you get what I just said? It becomes a very powerful way, a very concrete way for you or your family, your loved ones who pray with you, to get testimony, to see a witness, to have an experience that God is the living God, that he does care about you, that he cares about what's going on, and that he's going to go do something about it. He's going to take care. He's going to take action. And you're going to see a sign of God involved in your life. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? And so I love that. So don't be ashamed or feel guilty that you are like predominantly or right now find yourself turning to God only because you have a deep need yourself or for someone that you care about. Okay, acknowledge it, but then go beyond it. Go beyond it and come back to the Lord. And in that prayer time, yes, praise Him. Yes, thank Him. Yes, petition Him. Yes, intercede. Come before Him and bring your need. One of the things that I've found is so important regarding intercession is don't just one and done. Don't just, I said a prayer for so-and-so or for that situation and nothing happened. No, come back to the Lord like the importunate widow, the way it talks about in the Gospel of Luke, who bugs the judge until the judge settles the case on for her. Or the neighbor who knocks on the door until in the middle of the night until the neighbor gets up and answers. Those are the examples the Lord uses for our intercession. Is you keep knocking, you keep asking until the Lord moves. Okay, and then the last is asking for intercession. Remember, PTPIA, praise, thank, petition, intercede, and then ask for intercession. Asking for intercession, what am I talking about there? Well, I'm talking about the communion of saints. It's where you ask your patron saints, your guardian angel, or the particular patron saint of a need that you're having. The patron saint of lost objects, Saint Anthony, right, is probably the most popular example. But you look for a connection between heaven and earth, that the Lord is the living God, and the saints in heaven, the Lord loves to honor what they've lived in their lives now by using their intercession through, with, and in Jesus' intercession to join you in praying for a particular need. So ask for intercession from saints. You want yourself and your kids, your family, to have a sense of this connection between heaven and earth. You want that to be nurtured, fostered, and deepened. And that happens when you actually call upon the saints and ask them to pray. Okay, so that's the content. What about distractions and dryness? These are the things that can discourage us. Okay, so we've set aside some time. We've used the time in advance to quiet ourselves. We come into our time of prayer and we start to pray, PTPIA, praise, thank, petition, intercede, and ask for intercession. And it only takes 30 seconds and all of a sudden we're distracted. We're thinking about something else. We're trying to pray and we get tired, right? And all of a sudden we're getting distracted because, you know what? It's like, oh, this thing is still pressing on my life. This thing is still pressing on my mind. This thing is invading my prayer time. Think about distractions kind of like a fly buzzing around your room when you're attempting to sit quiet. That fly buzzing around or buzzing around your face is something that will bother you. And then what do you want to do? You want to get up and you want to track it down. And then you're going to try to kill it. And you're going to find your, and then when you kill that fly, you're going to sit back down and then you realize there's another fly and another fly. And those distractions will harass you throughout your prayer time. Instead of giving full attention to the distraction, instead, when you get distracted, smile at yourself, acknowledge that this is your human weakness, or maybe even a temptation or a trial, and just present yourself as a distracted one to God. Do you see what I'm saying? You do not make the distraction the center of your focus, but you smile and you humbly acknowledge that I'm distracted and you bring that to God. Lord, I got distracted again. I can't believe how weak I am. Lord, this is who I am and this is where I'm at. Lord, have mercy. Now let me go back to my prayer. Get distracted again, smile, don't take yourself too seriously, bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy, I need some help here, I'm just getting distracted again, have mercy on me. Okay, let me get back to my prayer. Oh, here it goes again, and that'll continue. And you know what? If that's your whole prayer, humbly acknowledge it and just keep bringing yourself to the Lord. And you say, Lord, you know what? This time is yours. And if my whole time is going to be a series of humble recognitions of my weakness and my turning back to you and asking for grace, praise be to God. That's my prayer time. So don't get discouraged by distractions. Just say, even these the Lord is going to use to humble me and to draw me closer to Him. They can be very purifying. And then lastly, dryness. Dryness might have its source in sinfulness. It could. It could be related to the fact that we've failed the Lord. And so we may want to ask the Lord to have mercy on us, to forgive us, and to help us to stay true to Him, even in the midst of dryness. But it's often a sign that the Lord wants to take us deeper beyond relying upon felt consolations or spiritual inspirations, where the Lord wants to draw us deeper by purifying us and stretching us so that we can receive a more profound union with Him that is beyond that felt experience of union with Him. And so consider dryness as a sign that the Lord, in fact, may be maturing your own time of prayer with Him. And press forward, remain faithful. The living Lord is on your side, and He wants you to grow in prayer. Hey, thanks so much for listening. I pray God's blessings on your day. Join me tomorrow for more Sound Insight.